To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
It's a McCarum Injury Lawyers Reaction Monday on Sports Radio 610. Here's The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
Ron Hughley is out. Sean Bajani is in. And we got Major League Baseball tonight. Mariners, Blue Jays, game two of the ALCS. Seattle leads that series 1-0. The Dodgers and the Brewers, game one of the NLCS, cranks up tonight. Tyler, you going to them best bets? You going to have any baseball rolling or what you got?
Tonight I will have a slate of Monday Night Football bets for you.
Oh, it's all football, huh?
Yeah, we got a little doubleheader action on a Monday night, so I'm going NFL where we have been very hot.
Staying away from Major League Baseball. Well, Sean, I got Sean Bajani with me, by the way, up. With in for Ron the show, Hughley. Look, I think we've got plenty of baseball to watch if that tickles your fancy. But I think the big story over the weekend on this Reaction Monday is the Mariners, right? I mean, the Mariners, not only are they obviously in the division here with the Astros, but the Mariners and how they got the one-game lead in the ALCS. It started last Friday when they won the DS in, what was it, 15 innings?
15 innings.
15 innings. And then they turn around, and I believe I heard John Lopez talking about it earlier. I was going to say 48 hours. I think they turned around, and I think it was exactly 50 hours. They had to play another game after exhausting damn near every arm on their pitching staff in the ALDS to get to game one of the ALCS. And they played a nine-inning game there that was a hell of a game. But the Mariners' run in that 50-hour window right there was pretty impressive, huh, Sean?
Dude, it was incredible. That has been arguably the best baseball club down the stretch to end the regular season. And then they get into the postseason, and to have their staff accomplish what they have to this point already, yeah. Never mind like just that little stretch, but they are riding that staff and clutch hitting right now. It's very impressive to watch. Logan Gilbert, who came in the other night through two innings, gave up three hits against the Tigers in that 15-inning game. He'll be starting the ball game tonight. And it's nothing short of one of the more impressive things you may ever see in postseason history, to be honest with you. I mean, it's kind of factually correct, right? Just taking that stretch from just 3 days ago now to winning game one of the ALCS in the fashion that they did, only four teams have ever accomplished what the Mariners pitching staff had. And the fact that they did it in such a short amount of time in a back-to-back situation makes it even more impressive. But they give up that leadoff home run to George Springer the other night. What was that, like first or second pitch of the ballgame?
Yeah.
And nothing after that. Zero runs after that. All the while, you went seven pitchers deep using starters, you know, just in an elimination game to get you to the next day, man. Just to get you on a plane back to another city and they do that, and then they come out with another dominating pitching performance and clutch hitting again in game one. It's awesome. This is right now the best team going in baseball.
Are you guys pulling for the Mariners?
I am.
Tyler, where are you at? You
almost
are.
Almost made me cuss, bro. Hell no.
Are you kidding me?
Hell no.
You're just for obvious reasons being in the division with the Astros.
Yes, absolutely. Okay. And the fact that fan base acts like a bunch of turds, like they've done anything in the last century. Whenever they make it to this point, get out of here, those stupid ass mermen.
I get it. I'm not proud of myself. I was hemming and hawing because me and PC talked about this last weekend on Friday night. Whenever we were watching this incredible 15 inning game. And he asked me the same question. I was like, yeah, you know, I guess the Blue Jays, you know, because of Springer. Yeah, it'd be cool to see Springer v. Tucker in a World Series, right? So give me Blue Jays and Cubs in the World Series. And then I'm watching these Mariners, man, and I'm just like, you know what? This feels like Team of Destiny. They've got the MVP and Cal Raleigh going, who just put together it's the greatest regular season for a catcher in Major League Baseball history. Let's just be honest. And I don't know how you couldn't just want those guys to succeed.
Well, I'm going to tell you, I know there's probably people that listen to the show that probably know exactly where I'm at. I'm rooting for the Mariners. I want the Mariners. If my team, the Astros, can't win, I want the team that I compete with, that's closest competing with me, that I played throughout the season more than any of these jokers. I want them to win it all.
I'm usually right there with you.
I don't want the team that upset the Astros and won the division and in the playoffs now to go up there and lay an egg and know that my squad just got shut down and kicked out of the driver's seat in the division by a crappy team.
Yeah, so you take a little bit of pride in like losing to an eventual champion, right?
Absolutely, 100%. And I'd be honest with you, in this particular series right here, I would rather the team that is on American soil win in advance than the Canadian team. You mentioned Springer hitting the bomb.
Yeah,
and. Again, I heard the In the Loop guys having this conversation. I was in my car trying to have it with them. But which former Astro do you miss the most? And even consider this. I know Correa is back in Astro, but let's take ourselves back to when Correa was not in Astro. Which Astro do you miss the most? And a few of them that are out there, obviously. Springer, Bregman, Tucker, Correa, a few of those guys. Obviously, Tyler, what's my man's name that you hate that put the –
Oh, the
Garrett.
Are you talking
Garrett
about? Oh yeah, Garrett. There was a few of them, so I was trying to throw them in my head. But yeah, Garrett.
Leave him out of this.
Yeah. Which one of these Astros do you miss the most,
a
man?
Rep of himself, idiot.
Springer for me.
Is it Springer? I was Lopez. I think Lopez and really.
Mm-hmm.
Who?
He said
mine
as well.
Springer.
Oh,
well.
I thought you said somebody else.
Johnny, good God, bro!
I'm like, come on,
man. I'm gonna tell you it for me. And again, I know this guy is an Astro currently, but before he came back, like if I put him on the list, it's Springer if there is no Correa. But for me, it was Correa.
You got him back now.
I got my wish, right? I think that's. I guess I can put that feather in my Dana Brown cap of at least he got Correa.
Oh, why are they going to say that?
From like a strategical standpoint, right? Because you got Correa back. He's third. You got Pena at short. Whatever the hell the Astros end up doing at second base.
They got options.
You know, in first base, I'm not thrilled about it outside of like, hey, you know, he is a very good defensive first baseman in Christian Walker. Whatever. But if you had like George Springer back with the Astros.
Oh, you remember the old man back, huh?
That would, I mean... In a hypothetical fantasy universe here, like you're playing around, you know, I'd love to have George Springer back. He'd solve like your center field issue. He would bring a lot of power back to the lineup on base. I mean, offensively, what he's done this year, just a complete resurgence. He should be AL Comeback Player of the Year. There's no doubt about it in my mind. Mm. He's had a tremendous season. I would love that. Now, I wouldn't like paying if I was the Astros and Jim Crane. Paying George Springer what the Toronto Blue Jays have been paying him, but from an offensive standpoint and defensive, to be honest with you, it'd be great to have him back. I miss him.
Yeah, I miss them all. Hell, I'll be honest with you, I miss them all. And Tucker's at the very bottom of the list. No disrespect, he's a distant fourth on this list right here. I'd go Correa, Springer, Bregman for me, and then Tucker at the bottom. But Correa's back, so we're in good shape there. Again, Mariners, Blue Jays, game two of the ALCS tonight. Dodgers, Brewers. game one of the NLCS tonight. I'm Clint Stern alongside Sean Bajani. T-Meal is behind the glass there. You're listening to Sports Radio 610, Houston's sports leader. Guys, we had a monster college football weekend, man. Bama snuck by Missouri. Tyler, I see you sneaking that music in there. My bad. I didn't have.
No.
The show's not here to give you the cue.
Hey.
But you know what to do. Bama sneaks by Missouri on the road in Columbia. Georgia defeats Auburn in a game full of controversy. We mentioned a little earlier, Indiana 30 at Oregon 20. Kurt Cignetti, their coach, is going to be Indiana. I hope they got one of them golden dome that domes they always talk about. One of them defense mechanisms here in Indiana to keep everybody from coming in because they are coming in. But let's get to the Texas schools. To me, Sean, tell me how crazy I am. But these were must win games for both Texas and Texas A&M for two different reasons. This was a must win games for, I think, both of the University of Texas and the Aggies. Texas just couldn't afford this early in the season to go to be a three loss team.
No.
And one of those losses be to OU on the heels of the Florida loss, which, as I mentioned, A&M turns around and beats them this week. But that was a big, big win for the Texas Longhorns on several fronts. Again, you couldn't afford to get that third loss if you still hope to at least make a run here the rest of the way and get in the college football playoff contention. You weren't going to be able to lose that game. It was over the number six team in America, and it was over, I believe, the number one ranked defense that OU had at the time. And your quarterback played better. You ran the football better if you're Texas. So I think this is the first time that I've watched a Texas football team that you could see a quarterback growing. You could see some pieces around that quarterback making play. The supporting cast, I think, showed up and showed out. And ultimately, their defense stood up and bowed their neck and is going to keep them in every single game. But this, I think this was a must-win for the University of Texas, and they got it 23-6 over OU.
Well, the most impressive part about the Texas game, right? I mean, you held Oklahoma scoreless in the second half. And while it maybe wasn't the most impressive thing you'd ever seen offensively from them, you know, Arch Manning, like, he took care of the football, right? And he was efficient, but he only had like five or six incompletions.
He made some big boy throws.
Yeah.
He moved the ball with his legs. He's part of the run game. He did some good things with his legs.
Yeah.
Again, their defense bowed their back and bowed their neck, not their back, bowed their neck. You bow your back, that would hurt. You bow your neck a little bit, it's a good sign. But their defense bowed their neck and went down the stretch and allowed their offense to stretch out the lead a little bit.
It's impressive. I mean, yeah. I'm happy to see it. I want to see like those schools do well.
Their weight too, probably.
But you mentioned Texas A&M, right? And I was thinking, I forget who I was talking, about this with, but from a defensive standpoint, what the Aggies look like this weekend in particular, man, that brought me back to like my childhood days watching that Aggie defense, like how tough, physical they were, like stepping on the throat. That was awesome.
Yeah.
That was badass. To me, that was really impressive. Yeah. Maybe I mentioned it to you, Tyler. I don't know. What was more impressive for you, though, the way that Texas won against number six team in the country,
ooh,
or what A&M did against Florida? I mean, beating them by what, 20 points, 17, 20 points, whatever it was? What was more impressive for you?
I mean, I got to say, more impressive? Mm-hmm. I got to say Texas A&M. I think Texas A&M I think this squad's for real.
See what you're doing to Tyler.
Tyler knows, we've talked to A&M for a lot over the last 5 or 6 years. Look, I've thought A&M was good, and last year I had them picked to make a run and get into the college football playoffs. And I've thought highly of them before, but I just thought Jimbo was a fraud from jump. I never could get into Jimbo Fisher, what was going on, the stories you hear coming out, dudes smoking weed in a damn locker room in South Carolina, like all guys getting arrested with guns in the car and drugs in the car and all that kind of crap. I just could never buy into them.
What was your vibe with Elko whenever day one?
Yeah, well, I liked him, but I didn't know. You know, you got to see like I liked Elko a lot. I liked what he did at Duke. I liked when he was at A&M before. But the reality of it is, man, it's one thing to be a good coach. It's another thing to come in and completely change a culture, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
And you know, this is a guy that completely changed a culture, and that they've always had the Jimmys and Joes. mm-hmm. right? And so I think he's got dudes that can win. This is the most confidence I've had in an A&M football team. Since the Johnny Manziel. And I was a huge Johnny Manziel.
You ain't alone.
I didn't have this level of confidence before Johnny became Johnny. But that year Johnny came back,
mm-hmm.
I thought, okay, this one's got a real chance. This has got a real chance to make a run. I've not been a real believer since then. They've been awfully talented, but I hadn't been a believer since then. This is, I think Texas A&M was more impressive because this was a must win for where I was going with it. This is a must win for Texas A&M for different reasons. You are a championship caliber team, right? I mean, you want to give yourself a little bit of grace down the stretch here when LSU and Missouri and Texas is going to be a better football team when you meet them than when Ohio State got them. Right, mm-hmm, so mm-hmm. you want to give yourself a little bit of grace late in the season when I think the schedule toughens up a bit, at least what we're looking at right now, because you know Missouri looks like they're for real, Texas is coming, they're getting better. You want to give yourself a little bit of grace. You got to win home games against teams like Florida that their coach is on the hot seat, and so
you got your boys coming up next.
Well, hell, that ain't we done fired our head coach. Hell, ain't they, I mean that shouldn't be no problem. That's going to be another one of those kind of must wins of like you can't slip up against teams that have no business being on the field with you.
Yeah,
you know what I mean.
Yeah,
I mean you look at LSU's going to have some similar Jimmys and Joes. You want to give yourself a little grace in that game. Missouri, I think, is for real when it comes to they're going to compete their ass off, and it's going to be a tough game for you, right? And so you want to give yourself a little grace there. I think watching the A&M defense versus the Texas, the Longhorn defense is going to be must-see TV, right? I mean, so you want to give yourself a little bit of a window there to slip up and still be in the SEC championship hunt, still be in the college football playoff hunt, which it's easier now with a 12-team playoff. But my point is with A&M in the past, it's always this kind of Florida team come in and nip you, surprise America, and beat A&M.
But
they've got to win Arkansas. They got to beat Arkansas. I mean, you know, I don't care that Arkansas's got a high powered offense or quarterbacks, this or that. You got to beat Arkansas.
After beating a top 10 team earlier in the season, like they did Notre Dame, you know, I know you're talking about like grace and, you know, the potential to slip up. They're going to do what they're supposed to do against Arkansas this weekend.
They better.
You don't want to slip up against LSU. Like, that is your opportunity to really kind of stamp, you know, yourself on the map, like entrench yourself. Like, you beat a number 10 team in whatever LSU is at the time. Maybe they're, you know, inside 10 at that point. Man, you beat LSU, then it's Missouri. Yeah. Then all you got is Texas at the end of the season, and holy crap, they're thinking national title by then.
Yeah, man, I'm just stoked about the A&M and the Longhorn game at the end of the year. I have no skin in the game, and I've been fighting. I've been defending that rivalry week and how huge it is my entire damn life. It feels like, and I need it to be a game. I need it to be a hellacious game that I built it up to be to everybody that I know since they quit playing the damn thing. So I need that one to be for real. All right, the Rockets. The Rockets have been linked. I don't know if it's fair or foul, but they've been linked to a couple of players out there that gets me good and turned on. I'm going to tell you who that is, and we're going to cuss and discuss next right here.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs.
Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
T-Mobile is more than the best network in the game. They're now the best network in America, according to the experts at Ookla Speed Test. So MLB fans are connected from home to home plate. With the most advanced 5G, the most towers, and a signal that goes farther than ever, you can keep up with your teams on the road, overseas, and even off the grid. For baseball fans, it's better over here.
Based on analysis by Ookla Speed Test Intelligence data, 1H2025 compatible device and plan required for T-Satellite. See details at T-Mobile.com.
What makes a great pair of glasses? At Warby Parker, it's all the invisible extras without the extra cost. Their designer quality frames start at $95, including prescription lenses, plus scratch-resistant, smudge-resistant, and anti-reflective coatings, and UV protection, and free adjustments for life. To find your next pair of glasses, sunglasses, or contact lenses, or to find the Warby Parker store nearest you, head over to warbyparker.com. That's warbyparker.com.
Sports Radio 16.
It's a Mokarem Injury Lawyers Reaction Monday on Sports Radio 610. Here's The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
Ryan Hughley is out. Sean Bajani is in. Tyler Milner's on the ones and twos. Stay plugged in at the end of the 4 o'clock hour. We're going to have T-Mills Best Bets. He is on a heater, y'all. 12 for his last 12. You don't want to miss this one. This is the wave you want to ride with T-Mill now. You don't want to catch him when the waters are dead, when the waters are calm. Boy, I'm telling you, he's riding the wave right now that you got to get on. I am absolutely getting a little Monday night football slate of games. Two Monday night football games tonight, by the way, so there's plenty of action there. I'm Tyler. If I know him when he gets hot, it's probably gonna be about 6-7, maybe even 8 bets made tonight, but you can pick from whichever you would like. Guys, we're very fortunate in this city. We're very fortunate in this city with the three professional franchises. No disrespect to the others. I'm sorry. I'm just talking about the big three: the Rockets, the Astros, and the Texans. We're very fortunate to where it seems like even in the downtimes of the Rockets and the Texans, you had the Astros that were winning more games and more playoff games and going to the ALCS every damn year. So you had something to lean into.
Yeah.
Right. And then the Texans get right, and we've had two seasons of 10 win football and second round of the playoffs and a lot of excitement around the program. And now, boom, here come the Rockets. Last year, they surprised everybody. A bunch of youngsters got up as far as the two seed in the West at one point. And at the end of the day, exceeded expectations with Ime Udoka obviously a team full of youngsters that were, to me, really fun to watch and easy for Houston to like, right? I mean, you want to talk about in the state of Texas, just a blue-collar town. You want to talk about, you know, being, loved by a fan base. Obviously, winning does it, but the way in which you win with just the hustle, the grit, the physicality, it's easy to like these Rockets. And now we fast forward to, okay, I always said it like to this, Sean, this way, Sean, was all I wanted the Rockets to do was find their 3-8.
Mm-hmm.
Find 3-8 and then make a move to go get the superstar that puts you over the hump and makes you a real contender. You can argue they exceeded that. I'd say they found 2-10. I mean, they are loaded with youngsters top to bottom and made the move, obviously, to go get Kevin Durant. Kevin Durant comes in here, and I am absolutely stoked about watching a team, rooting for a team, my team that has Kevin Durant leading the way. The problem is here, we lost Fred VanVleet. We lost the point guard. You lost the veteran. You lost the guy that at any point in time you could put in the game, and he proved last year in the playoffs to be able to knock down big shots, big threes, stretch the floor. Yeah, he needed it. He's clutch as ever. But a true point guard that can get out there and steady the waters, if you will, when need be. You lose him. So the question now with the Rockets is, who's that guard? Who's gonna possess the ball? Obviously, you've got Amen Thompson, and you've got Reed Shepherd, and you've got obviously KD who can do some of those things. But is there a need to go out and get a guard? And I don't know if the answer is yes or no, or I don't know what the answer is, because I'm not watching Reed Shepherd and I'm not watching Amen Thompson's development to that degree every day over there in the deal. But I saw a report this weekend, Sean, and I want to know how real you think it is. I know you follow the team closely, cover the team, obviously. I read a report this weekend tying Trae Young to the Houston Rockets. Do you think there's any validity to that? The Rockets are going after that level of player to add to the crew they already have? And if so, does that tickle your fancy?
I mean, yeah, it's Trae Young. Right. That would be awesome, right? But I don't see how there's any realistic element to this at this point in time right now, because of where the Rockets are in terms of the apron. I mean, they're just over a million, I think it's $1.2 million underneath the first tax apron. And Trae Young, a couple of 3 years ago, just got paid that massive deal. It's like 5 years, $215 million, whatever the rookie max was, right?
Woo! Love that money.
Yeah. It was 5 years, $215. 5 years, $215. He's got a player option at the end of next season, and then he's an unrestricted free agent. He's going to be getting paid $46 million this year. So if the Rockets were going to be able to do that, you're going to have to make the money right. And they don't have, you're talking about players 2 through 10 and 3 through 8.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You're going to have players 1 to 4.
have five guys on the floor. Huh?
You know what I'm saying? To make that right. So yeah,
the report I saw, it was a long shot. Like, mm-hmm. Just a dream scenario was Trae Young. And I don't know how much, if it had legs or not, but the Rocket fan in me went, oh my. Boy, that would be a fun watch every night.
I tell you what, like, all of all the names that we've heard attached to the Rockets, and this is what happens when a team on the come up, especially one that just acquired Kevin Durant, that's supposed to rival, you know, the Oklahoma City Thunder, out of the West this year and be a legitimate NBA title contender. The Rockets, after winning 50 some odd games last year, much to the surprise of everybody, I would say, you're going to have like Ja Morant and Trae Young and, you know, all of these names, Derek White, you know, we've heard, you know, for months and months now. Jaylen Brown, you know, what are the Celtics going to do? Is this going to be like a rebuilding year for them? Are they going to look to unload, you know, guys because, you know, they're in tax hell up there in Boston? I understand that, but it makes far less sense to the Rockets in how I think we've watched them to this point. They've been very calculated, and I would say bold in the sense that while a lot of other organizations might look at, you know, their roster that they've built over the last 4 years with, you know, uber talented, you know, 21, 20, 20, 22 year old guys, like, let's go get these superstars right now and boom, just plop them in and see what we can do and make a run. Now, Rockets have let these guys develop.
Yep.
And they have very, in a calculated way, built a team, a very deep team now, a very well coached deep team. And they've brought in a superstar player, still a top 10 player in the league, that has a really great relationship with the head coach and wants to, you know, begin this new era, I think, in his career. And Kevin Durant, I don't think you want to screw that up from a financial standpoint and mortgage, you know, what you have worked so hard the last 4 or 5 years to do, and that's build talent. You're not going to trade that away for a maybe.
I'm with you, man. Kevin Durant is enough for me as a Rockets fan to get really good and turned on with this young core and his young group. And you know, I think Reed Shepherd's development is the big key here of kind of what this team looks like moving forward. So the KD ad is plenty for me. I just, when I see these reports now, I can't help but go, damn, that would be nice.
But what's your level of excitement already? Minus like a Ja Morant, a Trae Young.
It can't get no higher.
Yeah.
It can't get any higher. I mean, like obviously adding another superstar, even in the same stratosphere as Kevin Durant, would obviously move the needle for me. But just in a sense of like, am I going to go to more games or am I going to watch more? Am I going to talk about it more? No, it's at its peak right now for me.
Yeah.
So we'll see. We'll see what they can get done. All right, we got coming up next, we got the weekend's best and weekend's worst. We do it every single week. There was a lot to pick from on this Reaction Monday. We'll do that next right here on Sports Radio.
Did you know that parents rank financial literacy as the number one most difficult life skill to teach? Meet Greenlight, the debit card and money app for families. With Greenlight, you can send money to kids quickly, set up chores, automate allowance, and keep an eye on your kids' spending with real-time notifications. Kids learn to earn, save, and spend wisely, and parents can rest easy knowing their kids are learning about money with guardrails in place. Try Greenlight risk-free today at greenlight.com/odyssey.
Did you know your credit card points and miles can lose value to inflation? Credit card companies often reduce the redemption value of your points and miles. Now, imagine a credit card with rewards that can grow in value. With the Gemini credit card, you can earn Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos instantly with no annual fee. Every swipe at the store or gas pump earns you instant rewards deposited straight to your account. Plus, sign up now for a $200 Bitcoin bonus to kickstart your rewards. Visit Gemini.com/card today. Check out the link in the description for more information on rates and fees. Again, if you're looking to invest in Bitcoin but don't know where to start, the Gemini credit card makes it easy.
The Gemini credit card is issued by WebBank. In order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice, and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other cost information, see rates and fees. The Gemini credit card may not be used to make gambling-related purchases.
It's not coming from Brett Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah, you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Area 45, the best damn sports talk show in all of Houston.
It's a Mokarem Injury Lawyers Reaction Monday on Sports Radio 610. Live from the Mokarem Injury Lawyers Studios, here's The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
Ryan Hughley is out. Sean Bajani is in. And we got to get to this weekend's best, weekend's worst. I'm going to shake it up a little bit instead of just having one little thing here or there. I'm going to run down a few things that that really stood out. We talked about one of them a little earlier. Indiana on the college football slate here. Indiana is for real, boys. Indiana goes to Oregon. They win 30-20. Kurt Cignetti is the hottest thing on the coaching market, the hottest thing in college football right now. And them going to Oregon not only puts Indiana squarely in one of the powerhouses right now in college football, but it also knocks down Oregon a bit, which would be good for your Aggies, T. Aggies are probably going to move up a little bit with Oregon taking one on the chin from Indiana.
I'll take it. And we didn't, you know, I'm not normally this guy that's like, you know, this and this happened, but shine on me for a second.
Come on.
But last Friday, my friend, whenever we were doing our Saturday slate segment, we always do, me, you, and Ron, previewing the college football weekend ahead.
Yes.
And we pick our game of the week.
Mm-hmm.
I had mine in the dock, but I got a little busy back here with some stuff while y'all were out on location. We didn't get to it. My game of the week was not only Oregon and Indiana, but I put in my notes that Indiana would shock them in the world with a win in Oregon. And I called it.
Wow.
And I just want to put that out there for a little record.
You are on some kind of heater.
He's on a heater. That would be, I was at, you know, it's crazy. I was actually going to go for that as my hot take, but they were both highly ranked. So I didn't want to, I've shied away from it. I went with my Arkansas Razorbacks beating Tennessee, which obviously did not happen. But
sorry, I just wanted to get that out there.
Yeah, no, I'm with you, man. It's good. But there was nothing better, in my opinion, in college football than Indiana going on the road to Oregon in that Big Ten matchup. Well, it's crazy to think that that was a Big Ten monster matchup. Indiana-Oregon, right? How weird is that? The old Pac-12 team and Indiana. But Indiana goes and puts it on them. In the NFL, you mentioned this. You brought it up in that break right there. Baker Mayfield has got to be mentioned in this. Baker Mayfield has got to be mentioned. What Baker Mayfield is doing right now, they're chanting MVP, and rightfully so. Baker Mayfield goes and throws 17-23, 256 yards and 2 touchdowns. But the impressive thing is not just the San Francisco win; it's the run that he's made. He has been without Mike Evans. He's been without Godwin, and Ibuka hurt his hamstring in this game. He's going out there and winning games and converted. You know how he on the 4th and 10 or whatever it was here, and he scrambled for a first down out here to keep the drive alive before they beat us. He did something similar on, I think it was a 3rd and long, to keep that last drive alive before hitting, I think it's Tez Johnson, the kid that played at Oregon last year, rookie, for a touchdown to win this thing and bust it wide open right there. But Baker Mayfield, and continuing what I believe is an MVP run right now, early in the season, but Baker Mayfield's got to be weekend's best as well.
Who needs Mike Evans and Chris Godwin when you can still dial up 6 explosives in that game without either one of those guys? 6 explosive plays from 15-plus yards. Yeah. That's wild. And he had one of them on a run.
It's wild, man, to see that he resurrected his career and now what he's doing there. Right now, I got to believe he's the favorite for the MVP. Is that fair?
I'd say probably 3 weeks running now. He's been the favorite for MVP.
Yeah, man. So that you can't do a weekend's best without mentioning what Baker Mayfield is doing. And this one here, boys, it's for selfish reasons. But the Pittsburgh Steelers, they beat the Cleveland Browns 23-9. All right, and the Pittsburgh Steelers sit atop the AFC. They're only below Indianapolis because Indianapolis has played one more game than them. Obviously, I guess Pittsburgh's already had a bye. Do they play tonight?
No, Pittsburgh.
No, they just won. They just beat the Browns. But when did they had a bye that early in the first month of the season?
Yeah, I guess they had to have it the first week.
Anyway, it's going to be a hell of a run for Aaron Rodgers' old ass the rest of the way. That's for damn sure. But they win 23-9 over the Cleveland Browns. They beat the Jets, the Pats, the Vikings, and the Browns. So they're sitting at 4-1. The only team that's better than them in the AFC is the Indianapolis Colts right now because they're 5-1.
Steelers had a week 5 bye.
Oh, wow. Well, that's gonna make for a long backside of this thing for a 40-plus-year-old quarterback. But we'll see. So I think this is a beautiful story because I think watching some of the national media TV folks squirm because Aaron Rodgers and the marriage between him and Tomlin and the Steelers and how negative they were about it. Now that had more to do with Aaron Rodgers than it did with Mike Tomlin. But no, it wasn't going to work. He's done. Yada, yada, yada. So I think that in itself is them being 4-1 and playing good football is, I think, in itself to be mentioned in weekend's best. But Mike Tomlin, I love it when head coaches go ahead and just call out stupidity. But this is when Mike Tomlin's calling out an organization, this being the Browns, for a quarterback move. I think this needs to be it warrants being highlighted because this is the organization that can't figure out their quarterback situation.
Yeah.
All quarterbacks go to Cleveland to die. And you wonder, like, what's going on in Cleveland? Like, why do they struggle the way that they do? Well, it's because they make decisions like this, and opposing head coaches have no problem just airing the dirty laundry in a post-game presser. Here's Mike Tomlin after they beat the Browns this week.
You know, to be honest, it was shocking to me. Andrew Berry must be a lot smarter than me or us, because it doesn't make sense to me to trade a quarterback that you think enough of to make your opening day starter to a division opponent that's hurting in that area. But that's just my personal feelings.
Hey, yes, that's the guy that, like, just because you can't, I'm atop the division, and just because you can't win the division, you're trying to help the Bengals that are chasing my ass because after Joe Burrow got hurt. What are you doing, fool?
That was best.
Oh, Mike Tomlin is just, I love Mike Tomlin. I love the fact that the Pittsburgh Steelers, I'm an Aaron Rodgers fan. I love the fact that Aaron Rodgers is having success with the Pittsburgh Steelers. And when Mike Tomlin comes out and says stuff like that, when any coach does it, it turns me on a bit. But when Mike does it, it's absolutely beautiful. That is weekend's best. Can we talk a little bit about weekend's worst here, boys?
Yes. Yes.
Did y'all see what happened to Anthony Richardson?
Yes. I didn't see it. I heard about it. But
I mean,
I didn't know there was video evidence of him being a Dumas.
He was just put on IR, by the way, a few minutes ago.
Oh, so it's worse than I thought. It wasn't just inactive on the game. It's literally IR.
Yeah, like just literally 2 or 3 minutes ago, I saw on Twitter he's been put on IR by the Colts.
I mean, he wasn't going to play no way.
Yeah,
that's what I was going to help him win. That's for damn sure. But apparently, Anthony Richardson injured his eyes in a pregame workout with a band. These guys nowadays use these bands and basketballs and all kind of crap to warm up, and apparently the band snapped and hit him in the eye, and he went immediately on the inactive list. in Indianapolis. And now, as Tyler said, he's on the IR. Look, I'm going to be honest with you. I don't care if you're a quarterback. I don't care if you're a trainer in the fitness world. I don't care if you're just a workout. You're somebody that works out every now and then. Like, hell, it don't even matter. You could have never worked out. If you've got one of them resistance bands and you're pulling it towards your face.
Yeah.
And you don't think at some point, like, this thing could snap and hit me dead in my face, eye, nose, lip, anything. I mean, you're an idiot.
Yeah.
So.
Did you see this video?
I've not seen the video. No. I've not seen it. I don't know exactly how he was pulling.
What would he have been doing with a workout band, like, pulling towards his face that a quarterback would be doing to warm up?
For it just, I don't know. I don't know. I'm not a band guy.
I'm
not
a basketball row, guy. Like, maybe an upright row.
But even in that way, your hands are wide. So if it pops, it's going to pop outside your hands, not to your face. Like, yeah, he had to be, the point like, is he had to be pulling that thing, like, right at his eyeballs. Like, I mean, how much of an idiot do you have to be there? So that's where weekend's worst starts. And I feel sorry for Anthony Richardson. I wanted it to work out for him, but good gosh, it just keeps getting worse. He can't stay healthy.
It's not meant to be.
Right. It is rough. He needs to change the scenery in a hurry. How about the fact that the Cowboys get rolled by Rico? Rico Dowdle, the running back that they ran up out of town, had damn near 200 yards rushing, but had over 230 yards total offense.
Weak ass Cowboys.
As the Cowboys lose in the last, literally as time expired, to the Carolina Panthers. I mean, it's bad enough to lose to the Panthers, but you do it to a running back that you ran up out of town. And then did you boys see that the breakdown of the film? This Rex Ryan had an absolute field day with this film.
I bet he did. Yeah.
This is a fireable offense. There is a fourth down play where the Cowboys defense is on the field and it's fourth and I don't know, four or five. And to start with, they show the all 22 shot of the play. They've got a free safety, literally 30 plus. This game on the line, this is the last drive. This is the last drive. The game is the game is over if you give up, you know, if you let them get in field goal range. It's fourth and up four or five. They've got a free safety 30 yards off the ball in dead center playing center field. To start with, I don't know what I don't know what you're trying to accomplish there, right? And then the slot defender was about 8 yards off and just allowed a quick inside slant. Now, you could argue that the linebacker was supposed to get out underneath the slant. He almost got there. He didn't get there. But to allow a free release and an easy throw for a touchdown with the game on the absolute line, if you're Jerry Jones, you got to watch. I don't even care what Jerry's guilty of this year. On the field or off the field. If you just watch that film, you go, he's got to go. You got to fire him. If you can't get guys more prepared, if you're not signing guys that instinctually know, I don't care what the coach calls, I've got to press here. I got to press. I can't give a free release slant. Then you don't have the guys or the coach, and it's time to clean house. So the Cowboys get rolled by Rico. They get beat by the Carolina Panthers. That is also weekend's worst.
Rex Ryan called it Doomsday defense.
Oh, yeah, that's what he's referring to. Instead of Doomsday, he's calling it the Doomsday defense. It's true. And it is.
Good.
It is tremendous, man. It is typical Cowboy stuff of like why you just can't get over the hump, man. You can't even take them serious. You know what I mean? Like you can't. It literally is a fireable offense.
I just watched the 4th-and-3 play. People would say that don't understand football and that, well, there's a linebacker right there. Yeah, but where the linebacker was, he was on the weak side versus that strong side slot receiver coming off of that free release slant. Yeah. Like, you can't stop that play. Like, it doesn't matter if he's in the neighborhood or not. Like, you make that throw, Sean, and catch every time.
The only thing that made it even close was that he ran a slant. If he just ran a 5-yard hitch, it would have been an easier catch.
He might have gotten about 15, 20 more yards out of the whole damn thing.
I mean,
too.
It's just one of those where you look at it and you're like, how do football people watch it? Like, somebody's, if I'm the D coordinator, like, somebody's got to get cut or I got to get fired. One of the two. Last but not least, weekend's worst. Tua, the quarterback of the Miami Dolphins, he's going to the post-game presser, and he is calling out players. After throwing three interceptions, bad enough, but he's going to the post-game presser, calling out players for not making it to players-only meetings on time. That's where the Dolphins are right now. Sean, that's where the Dolphins are right now is their coach is doing pressers in capri pants, and he sounds like he's high, and the quarterback's calling out players for being late to players-only meetings.
I got a stat for you.
What is it?
Coaches that wear capri pants.
Oh, I've seen this.
Aaron Glenn, Mike McDaniels. They are a combined 1-for-11 this season.
Oh,
coaches out there, don't do it. Don't wear capri pants.
Oh, man. Okay? It is. And if you are, you better be winning. You better be an offensive guru that's putting up 30-plus points right now. Shane Steichen, you can put them on. But I mean, if you're going to be messing the bed, you're not going to be a leader of men, and your clubhouse is going to be a mess, you might want to pull the capris down a bit. All right, Football Talk on Sports Radio 16 is presented by Paramount Plus, y'all. You can't count on much, but you can always count on the Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. Watch your local NFL games live every Sunday all season long. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today. All right, y'all. I got to pat myself on the back. I had me a big weekend. I'm going to put the pressure on you two married men. All the married men out there, I'm going to put the pressure on you. I had a weekend. Your boy was clutch. And I got to tell y'all about it. My weekend was tremendous. That's next right here on Sports Radio 16.